The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Ah, is this thing on? Oh, man, what a day! 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 This happened.
But as I see the crisis gripping the nation, exacerbated by a president unwilling or unable to provide any kind of credible leadership, and the work that needs to be done to protect people in this most desperate hour, I cannot in good conscience continue to mount a campaign that cannot win and which would interfere with the important work required of all of us in this difficult hour.
Bernie Sanders, today, Wednesday, April 8th, 2020, ended his presidential campaign for the Democratic nomination. And I'm sad. I'm really sad. I'm sad for a number of reasons. I'm sad because I thought Bernie Sanders represented, number one, our best chance to defeat Donald Trump. Number two, our last best hope of fixing everything that ails us, and so much ails us. And if you want to hear, a good example of what I believe is wrong with this nation, go back to my show from Friday. So you can always find each show. Nothing's behind a paywall. I do depend on your contributions for my livelihood, but it's all voluntary, like public radio, because I don't think anyone should have to pay to listen to a radio show. I'm old school. What can I tell you? But so the date of that show was, so the show is posted under NicoleSandler.com/4-3-20. It was April 3rd, 2020. That's the format that I post them under. And you can listen. I called Denmark. I called a woman in Denmark, a single mom, to talk about, well, just because it's a small coronavirus world and we're all shut in no matter where we are. Social distancing, trying to keep this thing from spreading, from infecting all of us and from, killing us. And, you know, what I learned, well, I already knew about Denmark, but I think a lot of listeners heard for the first time of how progressive it is there. Yes, people pay a little more in taxes, but they don't, they get health care. You get sick, you go to the doctor. Nobody asks you for an insurance card or a copay or a deductible. And when your kid finishes high school, guess what? They keep going. They go to college. They go to university. It's all included in the taxes you pay. So listen to that and realize that a better world is possible, and know that Bernie Sanders has been pushing that idea for years and years and years. So today, actually, I don't have a regular guest scheduled. Instead, if you're on YouTube, you'll notice I've got the phone numbers up on screen. Phone lines are open today. 954-889-6410 is the number. You can also Skype to me at Nicole Sandler. Know that I'm a one-woman show here. I work alone. I'm my own producer, engineer, booker, talent, webmaster, call screener, which means we don't have a call screener. So I take the calls as they come in. It's all about the timing. Get through. Sometimes you may have to wait. I'll take them as they come. And either I'll talk to you or I'll hang up on you. What can I tell you? But I do have a lot of stuff to share with you today. But as usual, I want to start with something humorous, something creative. I've got some funnies, but I'll tell you this one sent by one of our regulars. I think Osama number 5, who's a regular in both chat rooms, actually, heard about this on the radio in L.A. I think it was on KPCC. And it's one of my favorites. Somebody I've had the wonderful honor of interviewing twice in my life. Maybe I'll get to it in my Me Chronicles, as Laffy put it yesterday, in my memoirs. And it's Randy Newman, who was asked to give a message on social distancing And of course, yeah, he turned it into a quickie song. So here we go. Take it away, Randy Newman.
Hi, I'm Randy Newman, and I've been asked by KPCC to say some words about social distancing.
I hear a dog in the background.
My scientific background, because apparently there's some disease that's going around. Stay 6 feet away from people. Wash your hands religiously and often.
Yeah.
And don't touch your face.
Oh, okay, good advice.
And so I was asked to do this. I wrote a song instead, actually. So,
okay.
So I'll go play it for you.
Do it.
Venus in sweatpants, that's who you are. And when this mess is over, I'll buy you a car. We'll drive that car so fast and so far. All your stupid friends will be left behind. Stay away from me. Yeah, but keep your distance, please. Stay away from me. Words of love in times like these. I'm gonna be with you 24 hours a day. A lot of people couldn't stand that, but you can. You'll be with me 24 hours a day. What a lucky man I am. Stay away from me. Wash your hands. Touch your face. How do you like that? Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. I saw you. 30 years together, we're still having fun. Once we were two, now we are one. Let's go out and get a burger. You know, when you're done, you're gone. Memories of the past. Be kind to one another. Tell her you love her every day. If you're angry about something, let it go. If the kid's afraid, tell her not to be afraid. But don't let him touch your face. Don't let him touch your face. All right. Thank you very much. I wish everyone well. And, wish myself well to some extent, and stay safe.
Yeah,
it's hard for Americans to don't like being told what to do at all. But in this case, let's do it.
Let's do
we'll
it.
We'll be all right.
We'll be all right.
Okay, all my love,
all right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Randy Newman. I adore him. Just love him. And you know, like I said, I've gotten to interview him twice. And now that I'm starting to put together my memoirs and incorporating old interviews and stuff, I will do certainly one segment on Randy Newman with two interviews and performances. So we've got that to look forward to. Sadly, This has been a rough week and a rough month and a rough year. What, 2020? What the fuck? All right. So on Friday, I neglected to mention the death of one of my musical heroes. Bill Withers passed away. And I guess I should be thankful and grateful that he didn't die from coronavirus. But Bill Withers, I believe, was 81 years old. And just what a brilliant songwriter and performer, and has provided so many hours of musical enjoyment for me over the years. And with all the people, all the from my many years in music radio, all the many artists and idols of mine that I've met, I never got to meet Bill Withers. I did talk to him on the phone once. Here's my Bill Withers story. I worked on a big morning show in Los Angeles, the Mark and Brian Show, for 4 years. When I was there, we rose to number one in the ratings. We beat Rick Dees. We were the big morning show in LA until Howard Stern came in and sort of wiped the floor with them. That's a whole nother story for another day. But we used to do things like, celebrity show and tell, where people would call in with a phone number of a celebrity. And if it was a real person, we got them on the air, they'd win a prize. And we got to meet a lot of people that way. Well, one day that's how we got Bill Withers' phone number. And most of the celebrities would play along with us. Bill Withers I forgot to change over the audio stream. Bill Withers, now it's fixed. Bill Withers, though, did not want to play with us. Bill Withers, I guess he wasn't familiar with Mark and Brian, didn't get the joke, and just was not happy that we called his house early in the morning. And we tried another time just because we were all such big fans of his, and he just didn't want to know from us. So after that, we left him alone. So that's my Bill Withers story. And then yesterday, we lost John Prine. Now, for a few weeks now, we'd been hearing that John Prine was sick. His wife, Fiona, recovered from COVID-19. She recovered, his third wife. And the last I had heard from her, she posted an update and said he was stable. So I was hoping against hope that he had basically turned it around. Sadly, the news wasn't to be. We lost John Prine last night. The news came over and it was everywhere all at once. I'm a rock and roller. John Prine was a folk singer, you know, he was a songwriter. I mean, if we had a songwriter laureate in America, I would nominate two people for that position. It would be John Prine and it would be Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan cites John Prine as one of his major influences and who he considers the greatest American songwriter. Sue Sorensen in the YouTube chat room said, "You've never heard of John Prine? I promise you, you've heard the song Angel from Montgomery." And I, you know what? I had a little an argument with myself today, because part of what, as you can tell by listening to me, I'm a music person first and foremost. Yes, I'm a political junkie because I care about our future and I care about what we're leaving my kid. But really, today I wanted to come on play music. And if I was just doing the audio stream, I would have done that. But then the Bernie Sanders thing happened, so I couldn't go there anyway. But I can't because of YouTube, because YouTube will copyright violate me and then they'll flag me. And, they took away my ability to earn money through the stream once. I finally got it back. I don't want to jeopardize that again. So I'll have to do just a music show one of these days, maybe Monday. I keep threatening to do it Monday. We'll see. We'll try. Anyway. There's so much news to share with you today, and this was before the announcement of Bernie Sanders suspending his campaign. So we'll continue on that after the look at the rest of the news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Over 12,000 people in the United States have died from the coronavirus, and the country is nearing 400,000 confirmed cases. Quite a far cry from the president's lies on January 22nd.
Are there words about a pandemic at this point?
No, we're not at all, and we have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China. And we have it under control. It's going to be just fine.
And February 26th.
We have a total of 15 people, and they're in a process of recovering, with some already having fully recovered. We're at that very low level, and we want to keep it that way. So we're at the low level. As they get better, we take them off the list, so that we're going to be pretty soon at only 5 people, and we could be at just 1 or 2 people over the next short period of time. And again, when you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero. That's a pretty good job we've done.
That's when the federal government should have been in full preparedness, not denial mode. But Trump continues to lie about everything, including his awareness of the severity of the threat. He was asked about new revelations about a memo written by Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro back in late January, warning the administration that the coronavirus crisis could cost the U.S. trillions of dollars and put millions of Americans at risk of illness or death. At Tuesday's daily free 2 hours of prime media time for Trump, he again lied, this time saying he never read the memo and didn't even know about it until just the other day, but followed its suggestions anyway. None of that is true.
You learned about the memo today?
I read about it maybe a day ago, 2 days ago.
Do you feel like someone in your among your staff or Peter Navarro himself should have told you about the memo earlier?
No, it was a recommendation. It was a feeling that he had. I think he told certain people in the staff, but it didn't matter. I didn't see it, but I did. I closed it down. I don't remember it even being discussed. We had a meeting where there were a lot of people. Most people felt they should not close it down, that we shouldn't close down to China, but I felt we had to do it. And that was at almost the exact same time as the memo.
If you had read the memo at the time, how would that have changed the steps you took or the statements?
I don't think it
would have
changed because I did. I basically did what the memo said, and the memo was, you know, the memo was pretty good memo from the standpoint that he took, I guess. I didn't see it yet.
He was saying that the U.S. would be warning that the U.S. could lose trillions of dollars and millions of lives.
Well, you're not going to lose millions of lives, but you'll lose plenty of money. But I couldn't have done it any better because it was about the same time and I closed it down to China.
It's nonsense like that that made Joe Scarborough's head explode on MSNBC Wednesday morning.
Because the president lies so much in these press conferences, I still, for the life of me, don't understand why the networks, including our own, allow Donald Trump to lie for 2 hours to the American people. If he were giving good information, that would be one thing.
Let us fact
check
him.
But it is a lie. So if this network or CNN or Fox is going to run him lying for 2 hours a night, they need a real-time fact checker. Because in this case, this was February the 26th when Donald Trump said only 15 people have it and soon it's going to be down to zero. And of course, that's, again, almost a full month after Peter Navarro wrote his memo, a memo that Donald Trump said, oh, I believe the same thing I was doing. No, he didn't. Even a month later, he thought it was about 15 people instead of 500,000 deaths.
Now, I'm not the biggest Joe Scarborough fan, but that was epic. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has removed the acting Pentagon Inspector General, Glenn Fine, as head of the panel overseeing how the federal government's coronavirus relief package will be spent. After Trump approved $2.2 trillion in federal spending, a panel of inspectors general from across cabinet departments picked Fine as chair of the oversight panel, which was established to ensure that the bailout money would be distributed and spent as intended. Trump ousted Fine from the department on Monday, thus removing him from the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee. Then Trump designated EPA Inspector General Sean O'Donnell as the Pentagon's temporary Inspector General and head of the Accountability Committee, and nominated Jason Abend, a senior policy advisor at U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to fill Fine's Pentagon job. But that's not the only shakeup. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham, who never once held a press briefing during her 9 months on the job, is out and reportedly returning to work for Melania Trump, becoming the First Lady's chief of staff. Grisham will be replaced by Trump campaign spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany.
Oh, God.
You remember McEnany, right?
This president will always put America first. He will always protect American citizens. We will not see diseases like the coronavirus come here. We will not see terrorism come here. And isn't that refreshing when contrasting it with the awful presidency of President
She's
Obama?
Nuts. Defense Secretary Mark Esper accepted the resignation of acting Navy Secretary Thomas Maudley on Tuesday, after a Sunday recording surfaced in which Maudley mocked Navy Captain Brent Crozier. Maudley dismissed Crozier from his post commanding the USS Theodore Roosevelt after Crozier sounded the alarm about a COVID-19 outbreak on board, saying Crozier's decision to distribute his email widely enough to be leaked resulted in a loss of trust and confidence. Maudley addressed Crozier's former crew on Sunday, and they recorded and leaked him, calling Crozier too naive or stupid to lead the ship. Maudley had only been in his position for a few months after Esper fired former Navy Secretary Richard Spencer in November. While Wisconsin voters went to the polls on Tuesday wearing surgical masks, trying to stay 6 feet apart in long lines, after the state Supreme Court overturned Governor Tony Evers' last-minute order to delay in-person balloting due to the coronavirus. The votes in the Democratic presidential primary, as well as state and local elections, won't be counted until Monday. Democrats had pushed for in-person voting to be postponed, but Republicans, backed by the state Supreme Court's conservative majority, insisted on holding the vote on schedule. One of the key races will fill a spot on the high court, and a lower turnout is widely seen as helping the conservative candidate. Trump urged his supporters to get out and vote now. And it has 2 hours of free press time on Tuesday. He inferred that the only reason Democrats attempted to get the date pushed back was because he had endorsed a candidate in the state Supreme Court race. Delusional, anyone? Well, lupus and arthritis patients are facing a shortage of the drugs chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine.
Oh boy.
After Donald Trump touted them as possible treatments for coronavirus. Medical experts warn that such a claim is unproven. And quacks like Dr. Mehmet Oz also have started talking up the drugs. But on the front lines, hospital workers are becoming desperate as ERs are overwhelmed by coronavirus patients. Some nurses at Detroit's Sinai Grace Hospital staged a work stoppage and demanded hospital administrators bring in more nurses to help out. They didn't. The nurses who made the demand said they were doing so because they found it impossible to properly treat people amid a crush of patients and not enough medical equipment. Donald Trump on Tuesday accused the World Health Organization of failing to be aggressive enough in fighting the coronavirus pandemic and threatened to withhold funding. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. Trump has faced many of the same criticisms that he leveled at the WHO, including failing to recognize the threat of the pandemic and mounting an aggressive early response. The WHO did declare a public health emergency of international concern long before the Trump administration declared an emergency. Just saying.
World Health Organization, because they really are, they called it wrong. They called it wrong. They missed the call. They could have called it months earlier. They would have known. And they should have known. And they probably did know. So we'll be looking into that very carefully. And we're going to put a hold on money spent to the WHO. We're going to put a very powerful hold on it. And we're going to see. It's a great thing if it works. But when they call every shot wrong, that's no good.
And finally, as the death toll numbers continue to climb, let me remind you that each number represents a human life. And by now, many of us personally know someone who has died from this virus. And on Tuesday night, we got the dreaded news that Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter John Prine, the music legend who inspired Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, and countless others, died in Nashville from complications of the COVID-19 coronavirus. He was 73.
Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing I can hold on to. To lead in this living is just a hard way to go.
John Prine, a two-time cancer survivor, was hospitalized in March after testing positive for the virus and was put on a ventilator. Prine got his start in music singing at open mic nights while working as a mailman in Illinois. In 1970, film critic Roger Ebert caught one of his performances and gave him a rave review in the Chicago Sun-Times. Prine credited Ebert with getting his music career going, and he went on to release a dozen albums over 5 decades.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band. Check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka.
And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler, remembering the life and musical treasures left behind by John Prine.
Girl on the tilt of the world, 'cause this old man is going to town.
You know, John Prine's final album released in 2018 was called When I Get to Heaven. Or I think that was the name of the album. That was the final track on that final album, When I Get to Heaven. A little clip of that song. I'll play it for you. after the official show ends. All right. Okay. I told you the phone lines are open, 954-889-6410. Let's go to it right now, and I think I know who's on the line here. Hello? Steve, is
hello,
that you?
Nicole.
Hey, Steve Splain. So this, I got to tell you. So this guy on the line, hi, Steve. We haven't spoken in, what is it, like 40 years or something?
At least 30.
So we worked together at my very first radio station at WUSF at the University of South Florida. You did news and stuff there. And you're back there now? Are you really back there doing the jazz at night?
After a 40-year career in news, which took me to New York City, where I worked for CBS News, ABC News, Al Jazeera, America, I semi-retired back to Tampa, which is where I am now living with my fiance.
Wow.
And through a miracle of coincidences, the guy who hired me in my college days...
Mike Cornette is the program director there.
To be a DJ at the jazz station in the late 1970s, mm-hmm. also moved back to Tampa to retire, and became the jazz music director. So the two of us are now DJing on WUSF 38 years after we did it the first time. It's an improbable story.
That is so funny.
It's a great gig. I love it.
You know, I saw Mike about three and a half years ago. You probably don't know this, but I fought lung cancer.
You told me you were there.
Right. I fought lung cancer, so I went to the Moffitt Cancer Center, which is at USF, to have a consult with them, and I couldn't go there without going by WUSF, and sure enough, Mike Cornette is back. So he was my boss, too. So, you know, wow, everything old is new again, I guess. So today, I post something on Facebook about waiting for, you know, Bernie Sanders to start speaking. Obviously, I'm a bit heartbroken by the fact that Bernie was pulling out, was announcing that he was suspending his campaign. And there's a post from Stephen Splain. And I'm like, could it possibly be? And sure enough, my old friend from college radio. Your comment really kind of surprised me, because I'm looking for it now. I'm trying to find your initial comment on here. Now I can't find it. I should have looked for it while that
I can tell you
nonstop newscast was playing. Go ahead.
I could tell you. Okay. I was moved to post. I know I've been following you on Facebook, but we never actually said hello after we became Facebook friends.
Hi.
That happens so often on Facebook. But I was moved to call you because I was so impressed with the tone you took about the Sanders pulling out.
Here's what I wrote. I said, waiting for Bernie to speak at live.berniesanders.com. He just announced he's suspending his campaign. I understand why, but still really worry about Biden's chances of winning. Most important thing now is to get Trump out of office. That's what I wrote. So you commented on my tone and saying, but then you went on and said, you've been going on. I got to find your exact, this thread got a lot of interest. So I'm okay. Here you wrote, hey, Nicole, long time no speak. Fond memories of us starting our radio careers together in Tampa. I'm grateful for your kind words about rallying behind Biden. I wish Bernie had stepped down a month ago. I'm no Biden fan, but this last month of you and millions of other Bernie supporters bashing Biden instead of Trump has done real damage to the ultimate goal of ridding us of Trump. Okay, now here's where I take an issue with what you said. We weren't bashing Biden instead of Trump. You think I haven't bashed Donald Trump nonstop?
Oh, you've been bashing him.
Oh, yeah. Well, but the thing about Joe Biden, I'm not saying anything that's not true. And I'm not saying anything that Donald Trump and his army of minions of assholes that follow him are not going to be saying either. I mean, and here's my problem with all the, you know, rah-rah Joe Biden people, is you think if we don't talk about it, they're not going to? You think if I don't say, oh my God, Joe Biden was accused of digital rape by somebody who worked for him, that they're not going to bring it up? It's negligent on the part of the Democrats to not address what could be a really, really serious issue.
Well, yeah, you're right, and you have been bashing Trump, so that is the good part. But
of course,
I think, to me, that Trump is the focus and should have been the focus all along. And when it became obvious that Sanders was not going to be able to put together enough delegates, he should have stepped down.
But
to
the problem,
rally the party but behind.
But Joe Biden is not any. I have real problems with Joe Biden. I have problems, number one, with his mental acuity, which I think is on par with Donald Trump's. I think they're both 25th Amendment candidates. I don't think either of them have the mental sharpness for this position. We knew that about Trump. Biden, I think, is a sad story. He never should have run. He's not ready. Have you heard him speak? If you take a transcript of what he says, he is not. I worry that he's going to get on that debate stage with Donald Trump and be eaten alive. That we were wanting. It wasn't so much of putting down Joe Biden. I'm sure he's a very nice man. I want a candidate who can beat Donald Trump and then who can take our country to the next level, through the 21st century without driving us into the ground. Joe Biden said that Medicare for All will not help us through this crisis. Are you fucking kidding me? Sorry, that wasn't aimed at you. This is just how I talk.
Well, you're right in your comparisons, but let's be honest. Donald Trump is no debate expert. Have you listened to him?
Oh, he's horrible.
He speaks with a junior high school vocabulary.
I so agree.
And he circles and he rambles. So for every
but he has no he has no concept of common decency.
Nicole,
go ahead, Steve.
For every ad you can put up of Joe Biden losing his train of thought, you could put up two more of Trump losing his train of thought.
So is it a battle of who's
of
worse?
Accusing Joe Biden of sexual improprieties.
Can't we do
can
better than
20
that?
More of Trump.
Can't so we do better than that?
I'm sorry, you won't let me talk, Nicole.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I heard anything I just said.
We heard what you said, and I heard everything you said, and the listeners did too, and I agree with you. But two wrongs don't make a right. It doesn't mean we're putting up the look. We went through this. We saw this movie in 2016. The two worst possible candidates in the world, and the people rejected Hillary Clinton. They said Donald Trump is less heinous than Hillary Clinton. They spoke, and look, I fault Hillary Clinton's campaign for not understanding how the Electoral College works. I understand she got almost 3 million more votes than Trump did, but they still lost, and that's on her campaign. They shouldn't have lost. It was like 77,000 votes in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and I think Michigan. It shouldn't have happened. That was their fault. By the same token, Joe Biden he'll be stomped on because Donald Trump doesn't give a shit about norms, about common courtesy, about anything. He will, on the debate stage, talk about Joe Biden finger-fucking his former assistant, and Joe Biden will be stunned because he won't know how to respond to that.
Yes, he will. He'll talk about the 20 people who have accused him of this.
Oh,
Trump
gee,
of the
and
same.
That's going
to
help so much.
The two people who are suing him for defamation and the two people that Trump paid off to keep quiet about affairs. So,
that's going to give Joe Biden a win?
I think you're putting too much emphasis on debates. People don't choose who to vote for based on debates. History has proved that.
Right.
You're too much worried about style over substance.
No, I'm worried about substance, and Joe Biden has no substance.
Let's look at what Biden. Can I just talk?
Go
let's
ahead.
Look at what Biden and Sanders have in common.
They're
let's
old.
Compare it to Trump. Mm-hmm. Both Biden and Sanders want everybody to have health care. They disagree on how to get there.
Big difference.
Both Biden and Sanders.
Biden says he would veto Medicare for all.
Both Biden and Sanders.
Medicare for all. Yeah.
Believe in science and believe in global warming.
True.
And believe that is the number one existential threat to us.
Right, but it's what they would do about it where they differ.
Both Biden and Sanders believe that we shouldn't have children in cages at the border.
True.
And that people who have been here, the list goes on and on.
I'm not
Biden
arguing.
Is
look,
on our side.
You have Biden
Biden.
You have Biden and you have Trump.
The same way when Biden ran as when Hillary ran. I said the same thing. I wish he wouldn't run.
Yeah.
But you got to deal with what the you have to deal with the deck we've been handed.
No, not really.
The deck we've been handed is
because
Joe
he's
Biden.
Not the nominee
we've
yet.
We've got to rally behind him.
No, we really
we've
don't.
Stop bashing Biden.
Okay, if you say so. I disagree with you. And right now, I will vote for whomever the nominee is. But he's not the nominee yet. And I'm still hoping at this point, I'd love to see Sherrod Brown be drafted out of left field because Joe Biden is the wrong guy. If he's the nominee, I'll vote for him. I'll encourage everyone else to vote for him because it's a vote against Donald Trump. But it's more of the same old, same old. It's every vote I've ever taken. I voted against Ronald Reagan, who was elected president on my 21st fucking birthday. I voted against George Bush, both of them. I voted, you know, I voted against Donald Trump. I voted against everybody. Bernie Sanders was the first person in my life I voted for, except for Obama the first time around. Now, the second time, I did believe that Obama should have been primaried in 2012 because he wanted this grand bargain. He's the one who gave away all those tax cuts to the billionaires in making that great deal at the end of the year. Barack Obama was not a progressive, but I have this button because I'm a pack rat and I don't throw things away. And I'm holding it up to the camera for those watching on YouTube. And it's a campaign button from 2012. And it was put out by People for the American Way. And it says, it's the Supreme Court, stupid, Obama 2012. And that's what it's all about. We screwed up in 2016. And that's why the Supreme Court 2 days ago said, Wisconsin, screw you. You can go, you know, kill yourselves and stand in line and vote or don't. That's okay. Because we're killing off your elections. And that's what it comes down to right now, Steve. It's all about the Supreme Court.
I agree.
Nothing else matters.
I agree. And that's exactly why I think that Bernie supporters need to rally behind Biden. We have to deal with the deck we've been handled. It's reality. And the life is not like, you know, a dream or a fantasy. You've got to deal with the deck we've been handed.
Right,
the deck we've been handed is Joe Biden.
And you know what?
For better or for worse.
People like
he's
me.
He's on the same side of all the issues that Bernie does. Bernie likes Biden a lot. That's another thing I said in my post is, unlike Biden, unlike Sanders
this
versus
isn't
Hillary,
this
they
isn't
hated
personal.
Each other.
Right.
Sanders and Biden are very, very friendly. They've known each other for decades. They're very fond of each other. So
mm-hmm.
I'm very hopeful
they are.
That Sanders will be a little bit more enthusiastic about Biden than he was
oh
about Hillary.
Oh, my God! You're not going there, Steve! Bernie Sanders did over 20 rallies for Hillary Clinton. You're buying into the bullshit from the Hill bots, and I don't ever use that term, but I will now because you got me pissed off. Bernie Sanders worked his ass off for Hillary Clinton. I do not appreciate the bullshit that he didn't work his ass off for her because he did. He did everything she asked and more. So don't even go there with me, especially not today. Because that's bullshit.
Well, Nicole?
Bullshit.
I've been covering.
Thank you for your call. Thank you, Steve. It was very nice talking to you. I got to go. Sorry. You've been covering it. I've been covering it. Sorry. You're not going to smear Bernie Sanders today. He worked his ass off for Hillary Clinton. He did, I think, 25 rallies for her. He traveled the country on her behalf for her to shit on him. That's not okay. Not okay. Not okay. Fuck that shit. And now, a word from our sponsors. I know we don't have sponsors, but bear with me.
Look how happy these COVID-19 sufferers are in this stock library video footage. They're engaging in various outdoor activities, underscored with a friendly, non-threatening ukulele music bit that corporate ad agencies now prefer. Ah. Not to mention it's free. Whee! Why are these stock footage actors so happy? They've been cured of COVID-19, thanks to Novartis and Sanofi, fine makers of hydroxychloroquine, also known as Plaquenil. Our mighty leader, the president, who has a vested interest in Novartis, and admits he's not a doctor, but has studied medicine under the tutelage of Professor Erwin Corey, highly recommends hydroxychloroquine for a vaccine. Or not. According to his scientific findings, hydroxychloroquine may work, or it may not. Oh, it could work, but maybe not. Plaquenil can be administered once you submit test results to Quest Laboratories. Oh, they misplaced them again. Good news for uninsured Trump loyalists. Here's an over-the-counter solution. Dr. Tim's Chloroquine Phosphate Fish Tank Cleaner. Available on Amazon for just $29.95 with free shipping. Side effects of hydroxychloroquine include instantaneous death. Hydroxychloroquine. What do you got to lose?
That, in case you didn't figure it out already, was Boca Brittany Summers. She's just brilliant. Sorry. Oh, and thank you, YouTube chat room, for correcting me. Bernie Sanders did 39 rallies for Hillary Clinton. 39. Just saying. Okay. You know, because of that, I'm going to share with you it's 4 minutes worth of stuff. But I've been, look, I've never met Bernie Sanders in person, believe it or not, but I've interviewed him at least a dozen times over the years, most of those times before he ever decided to run for president. And a couple of those times when he was thinking about it, when I was trying to convince him to run. And here's a little clip from May 1st. So we're coming up on an anniversary. Of 2014, so this was 6 years ago, before he had decided to run in 2016, he was still thinking about it. Here's just less than 2 minutes of our conversation.
A couple of times you have been honest. You said that if no one else steps up, who's going to put out a progressive campaign, who's going to talk about progressive ideas and ideals and priorities, then I'll do it. Will you? I mean, what? Obviously, if Hillary's the only declared candidate, you'd step up and do it?
Well, you know, it is a, you quoted me accurately. That's what I have said.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I wake up every morning thinking I have to be president of the United
right.
States. I think anyone who thinks that is a little bit crazy,
yeah.
given the problems facing this country. But I do believe that when a middle class is disappearing, when we have the whole challenge and crisis of climate change, when we are the only nation in the industrialized world that doesn't guarantee people health care through a national health care program,
mm-hmm.
When, you know, as we've discussed, the gap between the very, very rich and everybody else is growing wider, when we don't have any campaign finance for home, when we have all of these issues out there, we need candidates to stand up for the middle class and working families of this country. I believe that very strongly.
Yes.
We can't have a campaign when the major issues are not being discussed. And I tell you, I get around the country a little bit, Nicole. I was in South Carolina and North Carolina and Minnesota last weekend. And there is, you would be surprised at how much support there is out there for a strong progressive agenda that represents the needs.
I'm not surprised. I know there is. I think we are kind of like the bubbling majority. We're here. We're just waiting to pop up, but we're here.
That's right. That is exactly right.
Yep.
So I think, you know, and the other thing that we need to do, and I hope people who are listening to the show understand that, if the turnout in this election in 2014 is low, the Republicans will control
everything.
The United States Senate
yep.
and the United States House.
Yep.
If the turnout is high, they will not.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as all that.
And it was simple. It simply sucked because the turnout was low. The Republicans wound up controlling everything. Obama was still in the White House, but the Republicans had both the Senate and the House after that. So Bernie did decide to run a year later. It was August 5th. 2015, and I got to speak with him again. Here's just a tiny sliver of that conversation. Senator Bernie Sanders, I know you're very busy. I thank you for carving out a few minutes. My listeners know that I tried to come see you on Friday morning and what happened there, and I am your biggest fan. I'll take the Sanders-Sandler kind of similarity and claim you as a distant cousin too, and say when you're ready to come down to Florida, your staff knows my information. I'm here. I'm 100% in. I am. I feel the burn.
Well, and by the way, you know, we detect you know that there is a good deal of support for us in Florida.
There was.
So we will try to get down there,
yes.
And maybe we can do a rally, and love to involve you in it.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much. Anything I can do on my end to help, as I've said, I've told you this for years, but I'm a big fan, and I'm so happy you're running. And, you know, I tweeted out something a few minutes ago from Huffington Post this morning. The headline reads, "Almost every major poll shows Bernie Sanders challenging or defeating Clinton and Republicans. Here's why. And then it goes on to talk about a lot of things we talked about for the last 20 minutes or so. Bernie Sanders, you rock. Thank you for stepping up. I know that you didn't always aspire to be president, but you're doing it for the right reasons. So thank you.
Nicole, thanks very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. He's the real deal. I love the man. And I have no doubt that he will work his ass off to try to get whoever the nominee is elected, even if it is Joe Biden. All right, I'm gonna play for you now an interview I recorded earlier this morning with a listener, a regular listener of the show. Her name is Sue, and well, this will explain why I was talking to Sue. Joining me on the line right now is a listener. We know her as Sue. She is a pharmacist at a hospital in rural Illinois, Northwest Illinois. Is that the best way to describe it, Sue?
Yep, that's it.
So you've just been engaged listener for a long time now. We've exchanged lots of emails. I think this is the first time we've ever spoken. So nice to talk to you.
I hear your voice in my head, in my earbuds. So.
Right, and this is
you
the first
mine.
Right, this is the first time I heard your voice. And frankly, you sound a little different than I thought you would. But that's okay. I always get the, you know, on radio, oh, you look different than you sound. And I never know if that's how I'm supposed to take that. Thank you. Or what? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. I guess.
That's what it's going to sound like.
Anyway, we've had conversations virtually about the idea of Medicare for all. And one of your concerns was always about the reimbursement rates. And you were afraid that because the reimbursement rates are so low, that rural hospitals such as yours would be hurt in the process, right? Is that still a concern of yours?
Yeah. I mean, we're what's called a critical access hospital, which means we have limitations as to how many patients we can take, and we're only allowed to have 25 patients, which we very seldom ever do because it's a small community. And by virtue of that, we do get a little bit better reimbursement from the government, but it's still not much. Because even though we only have 25 beds, we still have, you know, 150 employees that we have to pay.
Wow.
So, you know, most hospitals, and I would say probably every hospital, payroll is the biggest expense.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not getting reimbursed from, you know, reimbursed very well from third party or Medicare or Medicaid or whatever, you know, even our hospital, as small as it is probably $3 to $4 million payroll.
Wow. You know, and I must admit that the last time I had the opportunity to speak with Bernie Sanders, I did ask him a question on your behalf. And that was about, in his plan for Medicare for All, would the reimbursement rates be renegotiated? He said, oh, without a doubt. That goes without saying, but obviously it needed to be said. So anyway, as we're recording this, we're taping this early on at about 11:30 Eastern on Wednesday morning, and I asked you to, you know, step aside from your pharmacy for a couple of minutes to talk to us. Just got the news that Bernie Sanders is ending his presidential campaign, and I guess, you know, logically, it makes sense, although I hate to hear it because, well, you know how I feel about Joe Biden. But that's a story for another day.
That doesn't make me happy either. So
I understand. All right. But the reason I called you today is we're in the midst of this pandemic, like nothing we've ever seen before. You're on the front lines working in the pharmacy of a hospital. So you're obviously a small hospital. You said you only have 25 beds. Have you guys been impacted by COVID-19 yet?
Well, actually we have. We took steps early. We have a therapy department in our basement that isn't being used. So we set that up as a clinic specifically for respiratory patients so that they can come in and not go through the whole hospital.
Uh-huh. Good idea.
And we've had quite a few that have come through that have been negative and a few positives.
Oh, wow.
But they were walking, you know, they're basically, we call walking wounded. You can send them home and just tell them to isolate or whatever. But actually, right before I got on the phone with you this morning, we put our first patient that we intubated with a COVID suspicious patient. We just put him in an ambulance and sent.
Oh, I just lost you for a second.
Our hospital does not have an intensive care unit.
Okay, so you put him in an ambulance and sent him off to another hospital.
Yep, we sent him off to a hospital with an intensive care unit. So.
Wow.
Now, this morning, so that was our first one.
Okay, well, it's there. But I know over the course of the last few weeks, You've sent me messages about the obstacles that you're facing when it comes to a term we've all come to know that I'm sure you're long familiar with, of PPE. You have a problem with getting PPE where you are. That's not the only problem, but let's start with that one. So the shortages are everywhere, yes?
Yes. And we were, unfortunately, I live in a state with a good billionaire for governor.
Uh-huh.
Governor Pritzker did was able to get us some, an additional shipment of PPE. We did get some gowns, and we did get some surgical masks, but we don't have a lot of the N95s, which are the ones that the, like the nurses and the respiratory therapists and doctors that are really close to the patients need to wear to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a lot of those. We did have some, we have some little little ladies in the quilting club nearby that have been making us a lot of the cloth masks.
Uh-huh.
You know, that that some of our non-clinical staff can wear. This morning they did just implement a policy here at the hospital that anybody in the hospital working has to wear a mask at all times.
Okay, well that makes sense.
So, you know, doctors, nurses, whatever, you know, pharmacy people, whatever, that are in contact with patients do have to wear a surgical mask.
Right.
Every minute of the day that we're in the hospital, but people like that work in the offices or somewhere that don't have direct contact with patients can wear the cloth masks. So we've had some donations from the public of those kind of masks that, those employees are wearing. But now that we're doing that, we're going to go through what we have a lot faster.
Gotcha.
But well, like I said earlier, we have about 100 to 150 employees.
Wow. Wow. So, and so even though you don't have active cases in your hospital, you just sent one off to another hospital with an intensive care unit, you're still, you have to take those precautions without a doubt.
Yeah.
And so you're going through all that, the masks and the gowns and the shields and everything else. And so you need them. And this, obviously, we as a nation, we're wholly unprepared for this because, well, the administration dropped the ball. The more important question, I think more important even than the PPE, which is quite important, is the issue of these drugs that our, you know, idiot in chief has been pushing. And now we find out that he's got an investment in the big pharmaceutical company that manufactures chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine, which now we understand are not only malaria medications, but they're used for patients with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And now they're unable to get those medications. I think you sent me a message the other day about going to a wholesaler where they're usually readily available. Not only are they no longer readily available, but the price has been jacked up like by exponentially. What's going on with this?
Yeah. Well, in a hospital setting, we don't use a lot of that because that's more for you know, outpatient maintenance therapy.
Uh-huh.
But I would have to have some in stock if I get a patient that we have to take care of that takes it at home.
Right.
So I do have a partial bottle at home that we've had from at home. No, I don't have it at home, but I have it at the hospital for patients that would come in.
Gotcha.
But I did look last week, and a bottle of 100 that I usually buy for anywhere between $50 and $100, depending on my contract, there was one available last week that was $920 for a bottle of 100.
Instead of 50? Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah, and I just actually just checked this morning, and it's not available at all. So even that one is gone.
Oh, my goodness. So people with arthritis and lupus are out of luck. They can't get the medication they need because Donald Trump is playing doctor and trying and prescribing medicine without a license. Isn't that against the law?
Right. You would think.
I would think.
He is promoting things that don't have an approved indication, and there are some providers that are taking them up on it. So, I know there are doctors that are prescribing it, but none of ours are at this point. But, you know, being a community hospital, a small facility that we are, since we don't have an intensive care unit and can't really participate in the whole, you know, taking care of these patients like you see in New York City and the bigger city, you know, bigger hospitals, what we can do for our community is to maintain our patients' baseline health as best as we can.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we try to make sure that everybody has their prescriptions for their insulin, for their diabetes, you know, diabetic medications and their, you know, lupus medications and all of these things to try and maintain their baseline health. Just because, it's not going to make them less susceptible to getting COVID if it is in the area, but if their health is declined, they're at a greater risk for poorer outcomes.
Right.
If they
of
do
course.
Get it.
Oh, of course. Now, those of us who are stuck at home, you know, we're taking care of our health. But I think one thing that I'm noticing, and I'll use myself as an example, is a decline in mental health. You know, I deal with depression anyway. And I think this isolation and the not being able to, it's not that we can't leave, but there's nothing, even if you were to leave the house, there's nothing to do. I jokingly said something on Twitter, you know, a couple of weeks ago. This would be a good time for them to bring back Quaaludes. And since you're a pharmacist, Sue, I got it. Why did they stop? Why did they stop making Quaaludes?
Because there's a lot safer things now.
No.
They kind of became obsolete.
But they were so good.
Well, they were so good for the off-label uses, Nicole. And we've already discussed how off-label uses are problematic.
You know, I'm going back 40 years now or more because it was in high school. But those were so much fun. And look, while we're all stuck at home trying to kill time, I was thinking fondly of things that are no longer available to us.
Well, maybe they could just listen to a podcast.
I gotcha.
But you know what? You were talking about those two medications. The medications that we are having problem with in our hospital right now.
Yeah.
Because of what's going on across the country, they're called paralytics, and it's the drugs that we use when we intubate patients.
Yeah.
To paralyze them.
Right.
And the reason that we do that is because a lot of times when they start to crash, they're still conscious and awake. If a doctor is trying to jam a rigid tube down their throat, yeah. they're fighting or choking or gagging.
Sure.
And so it puts them at a risk of being, you know, injured or having a puncture or something of their airway or something because they're struggling. Plus, if they're gagging or choking, they're coughing in the faces of the healthcare workers who are trying to do that.
Right.
And so we use some this morning. And we use some of our sedatives to keep them sedated after the tube is in, but now I can't get any more of those medications.
Real? Because they're in such high demand? Because so many hospitals are using them to intubate patients?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because of the usage of them is so great that the manufacturers just aren't able to keep up. So, I mean, it doesn't mean that we can't intubate patients. We still can.
Mm-hmm.
But it just puts the patient at a risk of an injury, and it puts the healthcare workers at a risk of infection because if the patient vomits or coughs in their face while that's happening, so we have that problem. Plus, we have we're having shortages of inhalers, asthma inhalers that people use.
Right,
that's what we use now for treatment of COVID patients.
Wow.
In the past, we would use the nebulizers where, you know, the little medicine they put in the machine and it vaporizes. But they don't recommend doing that for COVID patients because in addition to aerosolizing the medication, it also aerosolizes the virus.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. They're learning something new every day.
So that if that's around in the room,
then
it puts more people at risk. So we've been using, for patients who are in good enough shape that they can take a breath. You know, take a fairly deep breath.
Right.
We're using inhalers, but you know, we can't get those anymore either. So,
oh my goodness! Well, this is like nothing we've ever seen before, and you guys are in the front line, Sue. Are you feeling the gratitude from the people in the community? I mean, everywhere around the world, people are saluting our healthcare professionals. So, I hope you're feeling it because it is definitely there. We are all in awe of the work you all are doing.
Oh, I appreciate that. When I did leave work one day last week, there was a little collection of elderly people at a nice safe distance apart holding signs saying thank you. And we've had some of the businesses make things for us or bring us food and stuff.
But it's
greatly appreciated.
Well, good. I hope you're keeping your spirits up. I hope your kids are doing okay. It's got to be a challenging time to be
working. My husband and I are both working.
Oh, God.
And they are home by themselves eating all of my groceries.
Well, a lot of us are a lot larger than we were a couple of weeks ago when we started this.
Oh, my God. I'm like, can you guys just not eat when you're bored? Just eat when you're hungry, please. I'm not supposed to go to the store.
Right. Good luck with that. You've got teenagers.
Well, yeah. And, my daughter's like, I told her, I'm like, you know what? I have to drive an hour. I got to go to work. I'm tired. Can you do some laundry? She goes, well, at least you get to leave the house.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, but I'm going to work.
Right.
Can you just do the laundry?
Yes. Yeah, hotel. Tell them to step up. All right. Sue, I got to run. Thank you. Thank you for filling us in on what's happening. Please continue to do what you've been doing. Keep me posted. If there's anything I need to pass along to listeners, let me know. Otherwise, thank you for the work you do.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for calling.
You got it. All right. Have a great day and stay safe.
Okay. Stay safe, Nicole.
Okay. You too. That's listener Sue, a pharmacist in a small rural hospital in northwestern Illinois, having the same problems that other hospitals are having. I just wanted you to hear some of the stuff that, I mean, she sends me messages all the time, and it's just, you know, unbelievable. This is the United States of America, the greatest country on the planet. Yeah, not so much. Maybe we used to be, but this is what happens when you have bad leadership. And this is what happens under 3.5 years of Donald Trump. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. It's Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. We'll see what else the day brings us. Thank you for listening. Thanks for bearing with me. We'll get through this together. And as I keep telling myself, this too shall pass. When? I don't know. How long is it going to take? I don't know. But we'll get through it? Maybe? I don't know. We'll do it together, whatever it is. Until tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Mwah! Don't touch your face. Bye. And now, for those of you who said you weren't familiar with John Prine, I'm going to play you two songs. All right. The first one, you heard a little bit of it. Both of them you heard a little bit of in What's News. This is the song that introduced me to John Prine. And I first learned of him through Bonnie Raitt's version. And this is a duet between the two of them. It was actually recorded at a Steve Goodman tribute concert. It's Angel from Montgomery. And they don't get a whole lot better than this. Yeah.
Kitchen. I can hear them buzzing, and I ain't done nothing since I woke up today.
have nothing to say. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living. Hard way to go. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
When I get to heaven,
I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band, check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm gonna kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl, 'cause this old man is going to town. Then as God is my witness, I'm getting back into show business. I'm gonna open up a nightclub called the Tree of Forgiveness and forgive everybody ever done me any harm. Why, I might even invite a few choice critics, those syphilitic parasitics. Buy them a pint of Smithix and smother them with my charm. 'Cause then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, this old man is going to town. Yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna take that wristwatch off my arm. What are you gonna do with time after you bought the farm? And then I'm gonna go find my mom and dad. And good old brother Doug, why, I bet him and cousin Jackie are still cutting up a rug. I wanna see all my mama's sisters, 'cause that's where all the love starts. I miss them all like crazy. Bless her little hearts. And I always will remember these words my daddy said. He said, "Buddy, when you're dead, you're a dead peckerhead." I hope to prove him wrong, that is, when I get to heaven. 'Cause I'm gonna have a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm gonna kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, this old man is going to town. Yeah, this old man is going to town.